study of the planet Saturn and its giant moon Titan. Wilmot knew better. He knew the true purpose of this flight to Saturn and the reason its real backers wanted their financial support kept secret. The Chinese had refused to join the experiment as usual. They kept to themselves, isolationists to their core. But otherwise, most racial and religious groups were represented. What kind of a society will these people create for themselves? An actual experiment in anthropology. Wilmot glowed inwardly at the thought of it, even though the purpose behind this experiment, the underlying reason for this venture to Saturn, troubled him deeply. Yet he put aside such worries, content to revel in the prospects lying before him. His office was a reflection of the man. It was as close to a duplicate of his office at Cambridge as he could make it. He had brought up his big, clean-lined, Danish-styled desk and its graceful chair that molded itself to his spine, together with the bookcases and the little round conference table with its four minimalist chairs, all in white beech, clean and efficient, yet warm and comfortable. Even the carpet that almost covered the entire floor had been taken from his Earthside office. After all, Wilmot reasoned, I am going to be living and working here for 5 years or more. I might as well have my creature comforts around me. The only new thing in the office was the guest chair, another Danish piece but of shining chrome tubular supports and pliant butterscotch brown leather cushions. Manuel Gaeta sat in it, looking much more relaxed than Wilmot himself felt. The third man in the room was Edouard Urbain, chief scientist at the habitat, a small, slim, dark-bearded man, his thinning hair slicked straight back from his receding hairline. He was seated in one of those spare, springy-looking chairs from the conference table in the corner. Wilmot did not particularly like Urbain. He thought the man was an excitable Frenchman, despite the fact that Urbain had been born and raised in Quebec. I can see that you're physically and mentally fit, Wilmot was saying to Gaeta, gesturing toward the wall screen that displayed the man's test scores. More than fit. You are an unusual specimen, actually. Gaeta grinned lazily. It goes with the job. His voice was soft, almost musical. He was on the small side, but solidly built, burly, lots of hard muscle beneath his softly pleated, open-necked white shirt. His face was hardly handsome. His nose had obviously been broken, perhaps more than once. His heavy jaw made him look somewhat like a bulldog, but his deep-set, dark eyes seemed friendly enough, and his grin was disarming. I must tell you, Mr. Gaeta, that Manuel, the younger man interrupted, please feel free to call me Manuel. Wilmot felt slightly perplexed at that. He preferred to keep at least a slight distance from this man, and he noted that although Gaeta seemed quite able to speak American English, he pronounced his own name with a decided Spanish inflection. Wilmot glanced at Urbain, who did nothing except raise one eyebrow. Yes, sorry, Wilmot said. Then, but I must tell you, Mr., Manuel, that no matter what your backers believe, it will be impossible for you to go to the surface of Titan. Gaeta's smile did not fade one millimeter. Astro Corporation has put up $500 million international dollars for me to do the stunt. Your university consortium signed off on the deal. Urbain broke his silence almost explosively. No, it is impossible. No one is allowed to the surface of Titan. It would be a violation of every principle we are guided by. There must have been a misunderstanding, Wilmot said more smoothly. No one has been to Titan's surface, and... Pardon me, said Gaeta, but that's just the point. If somebody else had already been to Titan, there'd be no reason for me to do the stunt. Stunt, Wilmot echoed disapprovingly. I have the equipment, Gaeta went on. It's all been tested. My crew comes aboard tomorrow. All I need from you is some workshop space where they can set up my gear and check out the equipment. We're all set with everything else. Urbain shook his head vehemently. Teleoperated probes only will be sent to the surface of Titan. No humans.
With all respect, sir, Gaeta said, his voice still soft and friendly, you're thinking like a scientist.
Yes, of course. How else?
See, I'm in showbiz, not science. I get paid to do risky stunts like surfing the clouds of Jupiter and skiing down Mount Olympus on Mars.
Stunts, Wilmot muttered again.
Yeah, stunts. People pay a lot of money to participate in my stunts. That's what the VR gear is for.
Virtual reality thrills, vicarious experiences.
Cheap thrills, right? It brings in the big bucks. My investors will make their half bill back the first 10 seconds I'm on the VR nets.
You risk your life so that other people can get their adventure plugged into a virtual reality set, Urbain said, almost accusingly.
If anything, Gaeta's smile widened.
The trick is to handle the risks. Do the research, buy or build the equipment you need. They call me a daredevil, but I'm not a fool.
And you want to be the first man to reach the surface of Titan, Wilmot said.
Shouldn't be that tough. You're going out there anyway, so we hitch a ride with you. Titan's got an atmosphere and a decent gravity. Radiation levels are nowhere near as bad as Jupiter.
And contamination, demanded Urbain.
Gaeta's brows hiked up.
Contamination?
There is life on Titan. It is only microscopic, I grant you. Single-celled bacterial types, but it is living and we must protect it from contamination. That is our first duty.
The stuntman relaxed again.
Ah, sure. I'll be in an armored spacesuit. You can scrub it down and bathe me in ultraviolet light when I get back. Kill any bugs that might be on the suit's exterior.
Urbain shook his head even more violently.
No, no, no. You don't understand. We are not worried about the microbes contaminating you. Our worry is that you might contaminate them.
Huh?
It is a unique ecology there on Titan, Urbain said, his blue eyes burning with intensity, his beard bristling. We cannot take any chances on your contaminating them.
But they're just bugs.
Urbain's jaw sagged open. He looked like a believer who had just heard blasphemy uttered.
Unique organisms, corrected Wilmot sternly. They must not be disturbed.
But they've landed probes on Titan, Gaeta protested. Lots of them.
Each one was as thoroughly disinfected as science can achieve, Urbain said. They were subjected to levels of gamma radiation that almost destroyed their electronic circuits. Some of them were actually disabled during the contamination procedures.
Gaeta shrugged.
Okay, you can decontaminate my suit the same way.
With you inside it? Wilmot asked quietly.
Inside? Why?
Urbain replied.
Because when you get into your suit, you will be leaving a veritable jungle of microbial flora and fauna on every part of its exterior that you touch. Human, sweat, body oils, who knows what else. One fingerprint, one breath could leave enough terrestrial microbes to utterly devastate Titan's entire ecology.
I'd have to stay in the suit while you fry it with gamma rays?
Wilmot nodded.
Urbain said flatly, That is the only way we will allow you to go to Titan's surface.
Departure, minus 38 days. He's really handsome when he smiles, Susan noted silently, but he's always so serious. Malcolm Eberly was peering intently at the three-dimensional display floating in mid-air above his desktop. To Susan, he looked like a clean-cut California surfer type, but only from the neck up. His blonde hair was chopped short in the latest style. He had good cheekbones and a strong, firm jaw. Chiseled nose and startling blue eyes, the color of an alpine sky. A killer smile, too, but he smiled all too rarely. She had bent over backwards to please him, dressed in the plain tunics and slacks that he preferred, let her hair go natural, and cut those stubborn curls short. took off the decal she had worn on her forehead and wore no adornments at all except